This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, we're about 11 minutes away from the start of the NCAA tournament, at least first round action. I guess, remember when they tried to get us to call this the second round? Like, no, this is the first round. We had the first four. This is the first round. Creighton, Louisville, about 11 minutes away from tipping off 8-9 matchup. The winner of this game will likely play Auburn in Lexington. So that means you have just under 11 minutes to submit your brackets. We're over the 400 mark. Appreciate all of you that have joined the Cody and Gold Bracket Challenge. Final call to submit your brackets when you're in the challenge. Final call to maybe get one last link sent to you. Apologies for those that have struggled to join, but last chance before the brackets are locked in.
You know, it's
who's going to dethrone last year's winner?
He's in it.
He's in it again. Could you imagine he goes back to back? Now that would be impressive.
Seems extremely unlikely. But
free wings for a year on the line from Jefferson's, plus a little prize pack we'll put together.
Other stuff
well.
We can find,
yeah,
you know?
That's right. We always got something. All right, we got to get a bet in, though, for the first game. Something to fall while we're talking about some other stuff that we can keep an eye on. You mentioned it to Tim Murray. We were talking about this before the show.
I kind of want something we can cash early.
We need a first half bet so that by the noon hour, we already are maybe making some money.
Set the tone for the tournament, you know?
And please gamble responsibly for those of you listening out there, obviously. But the first half spread for Louisville. Do we like that? Do we actually want to make that
bet? Do we like Louisville to win?
Well, I think in all of our brackets,
you looked up a trend in the break and it seemed like it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm leaning even further towards it.
There is a trend that favors the first half spread, by the way, as Tim Murray said. Trends doesn't mean that it is hit every single time, but there's a pretty strong one involving Louisville, which is that they are 21-2 against the first half spread in their last 23 games. So 21-2, they cover first half spreads. In this game, they're a 1.5 point favorite in the first half. So that's the bet we're talking about. I think that's the bet we lock in and we can hopefully get started right.
I'm good with it. Drew, you're good? Well, I don't know where you went. Drew's good.
Over here trying to get people
yeah, he's
to
trying
win
to
one final time.
Sorry, they got 10 minutes.
Right, let's go ahead and lock that one as a show bet. We've got that as a show bet. Let's take it and hope that the trend continues. Obviously, it's not a guarantee or anything, but 21-2 is a pretty strong trend. First half, Creighton minus one, or Louisville, I'm sorry. Louisville minus 1.5.
All right. Creighton. So we got something.
Okay.
We're trying to survive, you know, one half of 20 minutes of basketball.
That's right. And our tourney coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. We asked Tim about the Final Four. You guys can text him in too, 913-586-7965. How do you guys see the tournament going? We gave some thoughts on KU and MU in general with their matchup, but the Final Four, where are you guys at? You know,
this feels the least informed I've ever been.
Okay.
I've tried. I did some research last night. I wasn't trying to just choose frivolously, and some of the teams I've seen play a little bit more, so I didn't want to like get carried away. I feel like every single person who's told me about their bracket has said the same thing, which is we all feel like we're a little chalk heavy.
Yeah.
All things considered. So I'll give you my final four and you can be judgmental of it if you want. Yeah. Auburn and Florida, that is 2-1 seeds on the one side.
Okay.
Then I have Duke and Kentucky as the other two final four teams. So I have 3-1 seeds in the final four. Was not my original intent. Tried to find some upsets where I felt a little more comfortable and couldn't come around on them. My biggest question about what I feel like right now is I genuinely kind of feel like one of the number one seeds is going down by at least the Sweet 16 and maybe in the round of 32.
Okay. All right.
And I lean towards those teams being most likely to be upset as Houston and Florida. And I had Florida as my eventual champion. So I decided after all that, okay, UConn's not getting the better of them. They're not going to make a serious threat at the three-peat, and Florida's going to hold on to that one. So I've got Houston losing earlier on the other side of the bracket. That's how I ended up with Kentucky in the Final Four instead. But yeah, three number one seeds and Duke. Seems a bit chalky. I got Florida winning it all.
So we can get to upset stuff a little bit later on the show. I have plenty of upsets and some surprise Sweet 16 Elite Eight teams, but when it comes down to the Final Four, it is pretty chalky, man. And I think what we discussed yesterday, which is now in college basketball, not that an upset or two can't happen, and we'll get to the trend that has happened for 16 straight seasons in a little bit later on the show, but in college basketball now, even the mid-majors, I think, are weaker to go on the deeper runs because the top mid-major players are transferring to the big boy programs more than ever with the portal.
So Curry wouldn't be at Davidson.
Like the really experienced teams that just kept a bunch of guys, and that's why that isn't existing as much. I mean, we just talked about it with some of the transfers on Arkansas. You know, a couple of those players were on FAU in the run they went on a year or two ago. We talked about Michigan, right? I guess with Michigan, like Golden, you know, he wasn't originally a Michigan guy. He transferred in from a smaller program. So that's happening more and more. But long story short, my Final Four, even though there were upsets earlier, not really in the Final Four. Auburn against Texas Tech on one side of the bracket. And Duke Houston on the other. Yeah, I know it's chalky.
I'm surprised we still all had Auburn, even though we agree that they got screwed in their bracket.
So we'll see
what Drew says here.
I agree with Tim, which is I do think we are overblowing. They're like, oh my gosh, Auburn has to play in Lexington as if like suddenly home court is worth 6 points.
What if they win against Creighton, you know?
Right, right. That's the other part. What if Creighton wins? I do think, though, if Creighton plays Auburn, that's a trickier matchup than if Auburn plays Louisville. I'm not as sold on the whole crowd thing becoming the massive factor. So my national title game, by the way, Duke, Texas Tech.
Okay.
Duke winning.
Duke winning.
Yep. Drew,
did you almost pull the trigger on Texas Tech? Did you think about it?
I did, but I think
did you consider it?
I like the Texas Tech poll.
Texas Tech's my. It's not even a long shot. They're a three seed.
Curious, what the hell did I have Texas Tech losing? Now that you're,
I haven't beat them Florida, so you had Florida beating them. I'm guessing, unless you had Missouri.
If I got Florida winning at all,
yeah. What about you, Drew?
I do have Texas Tech in the Elite Eight. I know I have them in the Final Four to that
point.
So I got Florida in the Final Four. Top left side of the bracket, I got Michigan State in the Midwest. Bottom right, Tennessee. And then debated really heavily, had Duke, and then thought about Wisconsin.
Oh, you're going to go with your Badgers.
I'm a Wisconsin guy, so on Wisconsin. I got the Badgers in the Final
Four.
Whoa!
Okay,
all
right.
They're going to lose today now. It's going to feel real bad tomorrow.
Wow.
That's how it works, dude. Settle Montana's going to take them down.
Hopefully they'll be more ready to go than they were last year when they lost to JMU in the first round. But I have Florida and Wisconsin in the final because whoever wins between Duke and Wisconsin, I think makes it. Florida wins the whole thing, though. I think just really good.
So Cody and you, different path, but both of you have Florida winning. Okay.
I guess that's
very
one
much
of the,
a different path, I think, actually.
One of the funny things about, like, it has probably no bearing in real life, but to the joke about Wisconsin, if a team got upset by some loser team in the first round last year, I am so much less likely to choose them to lose.
Really?
They're like, they got upset by James Madison last year. They're not losing to Montana this year. Unrelated. I know it has no bearing on the actual results of it, but I'm just convinced no Power Four conference team is going down to some, like, you know, Big South school.
So Kentucky, who lost to Oakland last year, there's some people picking them to lose to Troy.
I have Kentucky in the Final Four.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Like, no, it's like anytime it feels like it just happened to you, I feel like it's less likely that you get, unless your name's the Missouri Tigers, I guess.
Or unless you're Kentucky. We'll see about Kentucky, because Kentucky could also be.
That's what you're saying.
They're my Final Four.
Yeah. No, Drew, that's exactly right. That's what we were saying. Is like, Troy, it's just, I find it hard to believe they would lose to Troy. So back-to-back
probably
years.
Not. Troy. I mean, if it was in the round of 32, maybe to Illinois or Xavier, I don't know.
Well, then who do you, now I'm curious because we gave our final four and some of you on the text line can let us know. I'm just fascinated. We'll be able to see your brackets because you're in our bracket challenge too. But what else do you have like getting to the final four that is maybe surprising? Because we'll get
you
to the trend.
Like or?
Well, because yeah, we'll get to the trend in the noon hour where a 16 straight years, a double digit seed has made it to the Sweet 16. We can do that. But did you have any other big surprises? I can tell you, for me, my even if we go to the Elite Eight, my Elite Eight was Florida, Texas Tech. My Elite Eight on the other end was Auburn and North Carolina.
North Carolina's a bit of a surprise, Duke, seeing how they just got in the tournament.
Yeah, Duke, BYU. And then the other Elite Eight was Houston, Tennessee.
You love yourself some BYU.
BYU guy.
If BYU goes down to VCU today, that's not good. That's not good for me. I have BYU in the Elite Eight. So, yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a believer in that offense, man. And I really am. So, I guess for me, on my bracket, the shocking ones would just be North Carolina in the Elite Eight and then BYU in the Elite Eight.
I'm kind of like you. I'm on the line. I like Louisville a lot. Like you like BYU.
Okay.
And it's not because the home court thing. Louisville were ranked 10th in the AP poll, and I know the AP poll does not matter, but Louisville have been in the top 15 basically the last 3 weeks of the season, and they got hosed on a seed.
Yeah.
Auburn also kind of got screwed in that way. I think Louisville makes it to the Elite Eight.
Oh, wow.
I
think, so you think it's Auburn.
I think Gonzaga also makes it to the Elite Eight.
And you got Houston, 2-1 seeds going down.
Houston in the first weekend. That'd be fun.
And to Tim Murray's point, Gonzaga are in the top 10 in offensive and deficiency rating. I think a lot of people are not taking them seriously because they're an 8 seed, where if you look at what they've done, they haven't played very many teams or beaten very many good teams, but they're just as good in terms of how statistically
90-second warning, by the way. Any last-minute changes? Did Cody talk you out of a team into a team?
No.
90 seconds. That's it. You got 90 seconds to fix your bracket.
Can I ask us, at least now that we're looking at the brackets, how far everybody had MU and KU gone?
Sure. Yeah. So
I had them both losing in the round of 32. I was very tempted. Mm-hmm. To pick Kansas to beat St. John's because I think it is a particularly good matchup. I think for Kansas, right? Like by Kansas standards, for a number two seed, I didn't think they could ask for much better of a matchup in that scenario. Like it'd be way worse if they got Florida or one of these other two seeds.
Sure. Yeah.
I couldn't pull the trigger. They stink. They've looked so meh the whole year from December. So I had them both winning their first game, losing.
So I have Missouri beating Drake today. I have Kansas beating Arkansas. I have Missouri losing to Texas Tech, because I just told you I have Texas Tech in the national title game. And I have Kansas beating St. John's and still getting to a Sweet 16. I did.
I thought
hard about it, and I decided to change it, and I went with Kansas to make it to the Sweet 16 and then lose to Texas Tech.
The Kansas alum and you just couldn't resist.
I also think St. John's is an up-and-down team, too. So.
They are, and they don't shoot. Again, they don't shoot well from three and all the normal
elite
stuff.
Elite defensively, where if they're struggling, if KU scores on them a little bit, they might be in trouble.
But Kansas probably wouldn't hate getting stuck in a 51-50 game with St. John's. Like, that's not their biggest nightmare.
They almost beat Houston.
For a team that can't score.
They almost beat Houston and almost had no business even being in the game in the first place. So I think that is something you can rely on and be happy about. I think KU wins, but then they lose to St. John's as well. Again, as I said earlier, I think Drake beats Missouri. Gut feeling. Also, my grandma got her degree from Drake, and I totally forgot about that.
Everyone
until
knows
today.
Somebody went to Drake.
So I feel
my brother-in-law went to undergrad there.
I got family ties.
They're leaving for Wichita here in the next hour.
His wife went there. Like, how come? What does everybody know? Somebody
because,
from Drake?
Because
am I the only person who doesn't know anyone from Drake?
We're in Kansas City. I was not that far away. You got a lot of people that from you know what I mean. Like, it's not that we're not. It's not like we're living in the East Coast and someone was a Drake. You knew someone from Drake. That'd be more surprising.
Well, and my grandparents grew up in Iowa, so them going to Drake is not a surprise at all whatsoever. So I got some family ties.
913-586-7965. Someone says, Gold, your bracket sounds identical to mine. You're screwed. I'll be the right. We're in this together. All right. We're in this thing together at this point.
Somebody from the 816 brings up a good point.
Brackets are officially locked, by the way. So there you go.
Oh, boy.
They're done.
Hey, we already have a bet in. We need Louisville to win by two in the first half.
Somebody brought up a good point. Gonzaga's made it to the Sweet 16 7 years in a row now. Like, they make the Sweet 16. So this trending-wise, they're usually not a stunner. They're normally like a five at
they're
worst.
They're usually not playing the number one, you know, what some people think is still the best team in the country in Houston. But that'll be a fun game. I still think Kelvin Sampson's got his best team he's had at Houston.
I really enjoy when the tournament starts, I was going to say, but the juice doesn't really get going for like a couple of hours after this. When I need a couple of games going at the same time.
For sure.
We got to feel like March Madness, right? I need that like 20 minutes to kick by. We got a couple of games going. 30 minutes.
We got 30 minutes till the next game tips off. Then we can go multi-view. There, you gotta get to the multi-view.
I need the multi-view before I feel alive.
Right now, you're right. It's just one game, just underway. We're keeping an eye on the first half of Creighton Louisville. Our show bet again: Louisville -1.5. And Drew, did you end up making the bet you were sweating? Drew was talking about making a bet. Oh, he just ran out of the room.
Immediately a Creighton player holding his wrist. Is that bad?
That's Ashworth, too. That's like one of their best players, other than Kalkbrenner. That'd be a problem if he's actually hurt. Hopefully he's just shaken up a little bit. But yes, that would not be good for Creighton. Be good for our bet. Not good for Creighton.
Hit the ground pretty. Drew
was going to make a method of first basket or something of the game, a two-pointer. And I'm wondering if he made the bet, because if he did, he just lost it, because the guy's at the free throw line, which is not a method of basket two-pointer. It's method of...
Oh, I did lose.
What did you do? What was the bet you did? There's a free throw. It's in. So did you do method of basket free throw?
Unfortunately, no. Those. If I'd have done Creighton free throw, I'd have won $20 on a $2 bet. That's
Dang!
How high the odds were. I did a
We screwed up. That should have been our first bet.
You would have had to have that scenario. The guy gets fouled and misses the layup in order to get it. But
right, exactly.
Creighton's got a quick 2-0 lead. It's early.
Oh, no, we're sweating now.
Come on. Now we're down 4 points, essentially, on our bet.
Darn.
This doesn't even
feel good.
Finally
has the ball, you know?
After 30 seconds into the game.
I'm a little bit ahead of you guys, I think.
I don't wait. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we are on YouTube TV, so don't spoil it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than we had to just watch an air ball.
That was tipped.
Okay.
It's staying with Louisville. Anyway. All right. We'll keep an eye on this game.
We'll give you score updates throughout the day on the 15s and the 45s.
Yeah.
So 11:45, 12:15, and throughout. That way, if you want to know what's going on in the games, how to track your bracket, we'll have that all day long here on Cody and Gold.
You mentioned we're watching it in here on YouTube TV. Some people are going to use the rabbit ears. Some people are going to use whatever platform they have. And there was an article out about where things were for streaming, even for the Super Bowl. Remember, the Super Bowl was also on Tubi in addition. How long until we see March Madness switch to fully streaming? Or do you think this is one of those sports like the NFL where they're going to try to keep... Because already, unless it's on CBS, like this game is on CBS, but the next game is on True TV. Obviously, that's not something you're getting with rabbit ears.
Here's the truth. I don't think any sport is safe. There was an article out over on Pro Football Talk talking about the numbers generated from sports over in February of 2025. So just this previous month. And for broadcast perspective... For sports, broadcast had a 21.2% rating. Streaming had a 23.2%, so a massive combined number in the 40s. And even considering the Super Bowl, and the audience of the Super Bowl was massive for broadcast cable, streaming is starting to overtake the pure number of viewership people who are tuning into these sporting events or tuning into these NFL broadcasts. So the truth is, I genuinely think... When this contract's up, you're probably going to have to catch a third of the games on Paramount Plus or whatever else comes from it. Because
I know, man.
This seems sacred, and every year everyone makes the same dumb, honestly, True TV joke about, I don't even know where to find it outside of it. But I genuinely think that that's just where it's going to head, and that streaming is probably, sadly, more and more and more. We're going to be forced to have more apps in order to consume these.
I think certainly streaming is the future, but I don't know for the NCAA tournament, because right now games are on CBS, True TV, TNT. I don't know if you're going to say, well, then it's only on Paramount Plus, because if you're Turner, who owns all these networks, why would they take it off of True TV? You know what I'm saying? You're like, well, to get you to sign up for the app, I understand they would have to flip all of them away. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think you just do some. You know, you're still trying to get people to download Paramount, so some of the games are Paramount exclusive.
But the problem is, literally game to game, the network changes, and day to day, it changes. Like, for at least the NFL can promote, hey, this one wild card game is on Peacock.
Yeah.
For this, like, literally, there's what, like five games today that are on True TV. There's, I don't know the exact number, five on CBS, five on TNT. Like, depending on where you're at, you know what I'm saying? You would have, I don't know if it works the same way.
I would think you would do a slate. I would think you'd say,
you'd have to say the whole Thursday night slate is only on Paramount Plus.
I don't even think
you'd
do that. I think in order to get Paramount Plus people, for the people who are like, I'm a Louisville fan and now I got to get it, one game in the morning slate, one game in the afternoon slate. You choose an 11 whatever start and a 6 whatever start, and those two games are on Paramount Plus.
I do think so. As
Big three by
fellow as Wisconsin transfer, Checky Hepburn, by the way. Anyways,
there you go.
I do think that given that Turner lost the NBA, they can dedicate all of their allocate their financial allocations to the NCAA tournament, where I know it ends in 2032.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're ever going to let it actually go to anybody else, because they're going to chalk up the money.
So they
every
told themselves about the
single,
NBA.
I know.
CBS said to not Netflix, I don't think on the NFL.
But since Turner Law, I don't know how much money they needed to match. I forget the amount, but technically they could dedicate all of that money to make sure that the tournament stays on Turner Sports, where I don't know, it might go to streaming where you can also stream it on Paramount Plus, but I don't think Turner's going to let it go.
Well, it's also, remember, it's the NCAA in this decision. They all want the money, but they make the NCAA can say, hey, if we're going to sign a deal with you, X amount of games still have to be on cable television, right?
Yeah.
Or network, yeah, cable television,
but,
you know.
But I think these people are going to be less and less and less worried about that kind of deal. Like, I understand, like, it used to have a stigma to it. The idea that, like, when Big 12 first started putting stuff on ESPN Plus, yeah, and everyone
those
was like,
random
I'm not,
Wednesday night games,
I'm not
yeah.
going to ESPN. But they, you know, like, for a while there, people were hesitant or, you know, not indifferent about it. They cared. I'm just saying, like, if the NFL can go to Netflix, Drew, if they can give up an entire NFL game to Netflix, to Amazon Prime, they give up every Thursday night game to Amazon Prime.
But that's,
Turner is not going to be like, we're the only stalwart left that can just spend any amount of money. Because the problem is, you're saying, they can put all their resources into it. Streaming has more. Like, just flat out, streaming has more money than Turner has to pay for this if they want to.
If
the NCAA will take the cash.
I get that. I think the tournament comes as a package. You don't buy one tournament game.
Correct.
If you want to buy it, Amazon buys the entire single, the entire thing. They buy all of it.
Yeah, I think there'll be more streaming
individual games.
There'll be more streaming options, but I don't believe they're breaking up the NCAA tournament. And you're saying, well, they can put on Netflix. I don't think Netflix, based on their live sports at this point in time, is capable of having four different streams going at the same time.
I think
also the broadcast crew. We'll see, man. That would go against what they have done. And you're like, well, the NFL used to not do that. I get it. I think it's different, though, when we're only talking about a 2 or 3 week period. Netflix bought Christmas Day games. They could promote just, hey, these two games only are on.
I think it's tougher.
They don't even know what teams are playing until Sunday. And you know what I'm saying? Like, the time slots aren't figured out till Sunday night. I think it's trickier. There will definitely have to be more of a streaming component in the future. Luckily, I think we're at least 5 years away.
Someone's from the text line 816 says all the games are on Max, except for the CBS game. So it fits into that kind of.
Like, you could watch everything but the CBS game. Because, again, they do want some on broadcast television.
Yeah.
I don't think we're close to, like, all four games going at the same time. None are on your regular TV. I think that there's a chance that we're heading down the road where Kansas happens to be the Paramount Plus only, game, and you got to be over there.
Yeah, someone said you would have said the same thing about local baseball 5 years ago. The difference is inventory, right? We're talking about 162 games. CBS, like your local CBS affiliate, can't carry 162 games. It's great this year that KCTV5 or whatever is carrying, 10 games on Sunday, but there's a reason why they're only doing 10 and not 162 games. It's just not feasible. It's not financially viable, all of the above. But we'll see. Could the Final Four only be on CBS and then the opening round is on multiple different networks? I guess.
Even the championship now isn't on CBS anymore.
They put it on True TV last year. TNT last year.
TNT, I think.
But again, that's not only streaming. Who knows where we're headed? Everything is definitely going to streaming. What it looks like is obviously up for debate and everything like that. Coming up next, though, we'll talk a little Chiefs football, Chiefs Red Half Hour. An early projection doesn't look too kind to the Chiefs in one certain area. And we'll, of course, get you a score update right here.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
We'll get a little tourney scoreboard update coming up in just a little bit, but let's talk a little Chiefs football while we only have one tournament game going on. You found a tweet from someone that was taking a look at projections for offensive line play heading into the 2025 season, and it's ugly.
It's based on past Pro Football Focus grades, weighting more recent play more heavily for what it's worth. So, like, if you were a great player 5 years ago, but you kind of stunk last year, they're going to give you the Pro Football Focus rating from the – they're going to weight it in favor of the more recent bias. Now, they ranked all 32 NFL teams. The Denver Broncos had the number one rated offensive line projection.
Makes sense.
Going into the season right now. I thought they had the best line of football last year. They have four guys with an above 90 grade at left tackle, guard, center, and right guard, and a 64 grade, which is still above average, at right tackle based on that. So you're like, whoo, okay, that's a problem. I got to Kansas City, and all of a sudden you're like, they were ranked 20th in the current projection. Now look, I'll admit, they're being held down by left guard because the weighted left guard Pro Football Focus grade is currently projected to be Kingsley Suamataia, who was in the 10th percentile, which is bad, real bad. They average them as a little better than average at left tackle, the single best rated Pro Football Focus player at center, a little above average at right guard, according to Pro Football Focus, and a little above average at right tackle, Edgewon Taylor. When you start looking at it that way, it's kind of hard to imagine a world that even if they drafted a guard and started him instead of Kingsley, it is kind of hard to imagine a world in which the Chiefs' best case scenario isn't a league average offensive line. Like, that's ceiling right now, isn't it? Or am I being too hateful because the last time I watched a huge chunk of this offensive line, they got their ass kicked?
Yeah.
Because the Kingsley thing's not unfair because he's a complete unknown.
It's an unknown. Jalen Moore's a bit of an unknown too, right? He hasn't started many football games.
He's actually being helped by the fact that he's got a limited sample size for his Pro Football Focus.
I think his ceiling has a nice height to it because there's a chance that given 17 games, perhaps they have found something. That's your optimistic view on it. Of course, the alternative is he gets exposed by starting 17. The Chiefs, of course, are banking on the fact that no, it's because he was sitting behind a future Hall of Fame left tackle in Trent Williams. That's why he wasn't starting. Otherwise, he would have. And that's their assessment. We're going to all find out in the fall if, in fact, that assumption is correct or not. I think the rankings and the grading system, all that makes sense. We all saw with our own eyes. The Broncos had a really good offensive line. The Chiefs really struggled at times. I don't think anybody should be surprised that they were 22nd or 20th. In fact, some people probably think they should have been worse than that. That's how, based off of everybody's memory from the Super Bowl.
Joe Tooney, for what it's worth, someone was asking, was the number one rated left guard.
Right, right. And that's why that was a tough move to make for the Chiefs, because nobody said it was because of his performance. It was all a financial decision. They chose to pay Trey Smith, the younger guard. Not that Trey Smith's a better guard than Joe Tooney. No. Joe Tooney's still a better guard right now. But that was some of the calculus that they use to make the decision. Can Kansas City, we've said they just need average left tackle play. I think they need better than just average overall offensive line play, though. Now, if the left tackle is average, that's not a problem. Sign me up for average left tackle play right this second.
All day, every day.
But they have to have elite center play and fairly elite right guard play and average left guard play and average right tackle play to get out of just being 17th or something.
I agree.
Like that.
So Pro Football Focus has never been particularly high on Trey Smith. I think
they won 15 games last year still.
Yeah, I think it happens to be one of the players that they're just misidentifying. Not that they do a bad job grading every player, but that they do not have a good sense of what Trey Smith does well. So let's say he's well above average, right? And then Creed Humphrey ranks as the best. Then we know that the tackle play's got a ceiling, dude. Jalen Moore sure. maybe doesn't, but interior, Jawan Taylor does.
I still think
so. Really, it's all just like how good is Kingsley Suamataia? That's going to be the determination about whether they can be a league average offensive line. I will take a league average offensive line because I think when you factor in how bad they were at left tackle, when it all played out, they weren't a league average offensive line.
Yeah, they were
a top five interior offensive line and a bottom five tackle play.
I think they will be at least a league average offensive line because this is also, you know, will Pro Football Focus view it that way or not? I have no idea. We've had our criticisms of PFF's grading system before, but that's all we have to go off of other than our eyes, right? Teams think PFF is valuable because they all pay and subscribe to it. So it clearly isn't completely BS the way some people act like the PFF stuff is complete trash. If it was complete trash, NFL teams wouldn't spend thousands and thousands of dollars a year subscribing to their service. So there obviously is some value to it. Will they view Trey Smith as better than that? I think they're undervaluing Trey Smith already in their grading system. So I don't know what else he needs to do to get a better view. They have to be elite at center and right guard, and they need Kingsley to, of course, not be a liability at the left guard spot. I'm still surprised they have not. Maybe they just feel good about Caliendo being the other option. Because otherwise, I'm still surprised they never brought in another lower pay, not a high-end guy,
veteran guard to back up
the two guards. Maybe they're good with Caliendo. Hell, I guess they could draft a guard as well in the third round or something.
I think they probably will. So if you're looking for the competition, this is what always stands out to me about the Chiefs year last year, is that they're 20th right now. They've gotten worse at left guard significantly, but quite a bit better at left tackle, according to the Pro Football Focus grades from where they were last year. Denver, number one. Detroit, number two. Eagles, number three. Vikings, number four. These were these were three of the best four records in all of football last year. The Bills, number seven. The Chargers, number eight. Every time I think about people predicting the Chiefs to lose the AFC West or this is the end of the dynasty run, I'd like to point out how successful they are capable of being while overcoming a glaring weakness. 2 years ago, they won the Super Bowl when their glaring weakness was their inability to throw to any wide receiver on their roster at all. And last year, their glaring weakness was any inability at all to block from the left tackle spot. And so when you have those two big problems constantly hanging over your head over and over and over again, the ability to overcome and win games in spite of that makes me feel like league average offensive line plays fine because I think they're going to get better than league average in a lot of other spots, including like we've talked about, including maybe pass rush will be slightly better than league average. Certainly at wide receiver right now, I think they're better than that. Depending on what they get in the running back stuff in the draft, we'll see. I still think Isaiah Pacheco, when healthy, is a very good back, but it doesn't bode well. This early screening on it is kind of ugly. That's all.
But the early screening is strictly based off of last year, though. That's
would probably rank up five or six spots if they considered Kingsley league average.
But that's the thing. Nobody's telling anybody anything they didn't already know. If I told you, hey, last year, guys, the offensive line wasn't great. They won 15 games despite it, but it wasn't great. It had its issues. They had multiple left tackles start throughout the season. Nobody's disputing that. So if the grading and the projection is just based off of that, well, sure, they're going to have to go out and prove it to people. They have to prove that it's an upgrade at left tackle. They have to prove that Kingsley can play left guard, assuming he's the starting left guard. That makes sense to me. If we did a different area, if we were to grade out another team's wide receiver room, we'd be basing it off of what our eyes showed last year. And so their grade might be different than what it is heading.
I will say that this is still an aggregate. It weights recent play, but it is an aggregate based on the play they've had as their entire time as a pro. So, you know, they're also
Kingsley's
factoring
time
in
two was two games.
Yeah. But that means they're also factoring in when Trey Smith was learning how to play guard as a rookie, mm-hmm. right? So there's a little bit of a mix there, and we know that he's gotten quite a bit better since that time. And so there are parts of it that are changing the calculus at least a little bit. I'm just, it's one guy. It's Ben Baldwin. This is all based on Pro Football Focus grades. It's not his personal opinion, although it is a lot of people's personal opinion based on the grading system. Yeah. Should we get to a score update? Over in the NCAA tournament.
One game going on right now. 8-9 matchup. This one in Lexington, Kentucky. It's number 9 Creighton up 25-21. Make it 28-21. 7:37 to go.
Fellas.
Not good for the show bet. Not good so far for the show bet. But that's the only game. Timeout, Louisville. 7:30 to go first half. Another game just tipped off. We got to get the TV switched over. No, we got to go multi-view. We got Purdue and High Point just tipping off. moments ago. It feels good to have the multi-view of two games, soon to be three, soon to be four. But Purdue, the four seed, taking on 13 seed High Point, that one is scoreless, literally just tipped off. That is in the Midwest region.
So we got two games at once. About time, you know? What took so long? High Point going with the purple, you know, an underused color.
That's their school colors.
High Point Panthers, baby.
They're out to a 3-0 lead. That's a little update for you here on Cody and Gold. Our tourney coverage, by the way, is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Rough start. Rough start for the bet.
It's early.
But there's still, wait, how many, 12 minutes?
Seven minutes left.
Seven minutes left for the first half? That's a little bit. You know what? I needed that to distract me from there. Maybe they're going to take a left guard. In this
Are the Chiefs in this mock draft sound are taking anybody from the schools that are playing basketball right now? We know Purdue or Louisville would be the
only High Point.
Purdue and Louisville would be the only two candidates for this one.
Who are the current Chiefs players rooting for? So we got Karlaftis, who's Purdue. Anybody who played for the Chiefs who played for Louisville or?
I don't think they have a Chiefs player.
Creighton doesn't have basketball.
No, yeah, or doesn't have football, yeah.
Correct.
Louisville, I don't think they have.
I can't think of any other Louisville football player ever besides Teddy Bridgewater.
Right. I'm with you, man.
I'm with you.
Jackson?
Lamar and Teddy.
That's it, just quarterbacks. Have other guys made it from the league? From Louisville?
I'm sure there have been.
You're the college football guy. I figured you just rattle off like some.
There's
other
a number
randoms.
Of guys this year that'll definitely get picked.
Johnny Unitas, Deion Branch, Mark Clayton, Sam Madison, David Akers.
Pretty good history there.
Devontae Parker
also was really good. He played there with Lamar Jackson.
There you go.
There's some guys this year. Ja'Cory Brooks, maybe.
Tutu Atwell.
Tyler Shough.
Mekhi Becton. Anyway.
Definitely some guys. Anyways, we're going to CBS Sports. Our guy, Chris Tripasso. I don't know if he's our guy or not.
Wow.
But Chris Tripasso came out with a 3-round mock draft. By the way, before I get to the Chiefs pick, he has Armon Membo going 3rd overall to the Giants.
What?
That's surprising.
What?
I'm telling you.
I mean, they need a guard, but 3rd overall? What?
Mizzou.
Well, he's a right tackle, though. I mean, he can play tackle, but.
And anyways, with the 31st pick, the Chiefs not take anybody. They're trading out of the first round.
I don't hate it. Who would have been there, I wonder?
Well, Gray Zabel is who selected there by the Saints, offensive lineman from North Dakota State. Instead, so what the Chiefs get, before I get to the picks, the Chiefs get 40 and 71. So they'll have 3 third-round picks and 2 seconds.
Okay, who do they take?
With this trade. At 40, they take Josh Connolly Jr., tackle from Oregon.
Maybe you get lucky he's a tackle. Okay. If not, he's a guard.
Okay.
Not the worst way to spend a pick 40th overall.
The fact, though, that you can trade down and still get that player, people were saying he was going to be a first-round guy.
He was going in the first round. Later,
I guess it still could be. But.
The second-round pick that Tripasso has the Chiefs taking is Quinshon Judkins, running back out of Ohio State at pick 63.
Man, that feels so early with running back, doesn't it?
Nate Taylor said something to us early in the week. He said that he thinks the second most important position for them, if that's true, then maybe taking one that early is not that crazy.
He also has 3 running backs off the board by then. He has Amarion Hampton, he has Ashton Jeanty, and then he has Caleb Johnson from Iowa going there. So they get the 4th running back in the draft at pick 66. One of the first of 3 third rounders in this mock, Braden Swinson, edge rusher from LSU.
I like the positional mix here from Chris Tripasso.
The positional mix is good. You know my big pet peeve with this mock draft already, even though I wouldn't mind the Chiefs trading out, is he traded back and then they still got a player that other people have him taken at 31. And so, like, I also would like to trade down and get more picks and still get the guy I wanted.
Of course.
It doesn't seem like he's way off on the evaluation.
And
because
there's no bias for Tripasso. He's a national guy, so I think it's more fun to play around
with. I'd feel different if, this was just some, like, Arrowhead Addicts or Arrowhead Prides mock draft, and they got the Chiefs trading down. They get 19 picks and select all the best players.
That's right.
I feel a little bit different about it. Not to say he can't be, impartial.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Tripasso's got no skin in the game.
So there's 2 more picks left for the Chiefs in this mock. The one that they got in that trade with New Orleans, TJ Sanders, defensive tackle out of South Carolina, really good player. I would say this value. He had a good combine, I think, as well, and had some good production.
Is he a speed rusher? Is he what's the thought?
Big guy. He's more of the run stuffer. I think than anything else. I could
again,
be wrong,
they
but
only
I think
had
he's the
for
run.
A year. They're going to need people all across the defensive.
I think
line.
He's more of the run stuffing guy.
So he's an interior guy. Is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. He is for sure a defensive tackle.
Okay. All right.
The final pick in the third round for the Chiefs in this mock is Ricky White, wide receiver from UNLV. The dude put up.
I thought the name sounded familiar. I swear. I was like, why is it? It's because they played Kansas, and UNLV was also in the Mountain West title game. And we were talking about that.
He put up some serious numbers, which I think, you know, wide receiver in the third round, I think it's a solid place.
Is it? Because everyone says there's like six draftable wide receivers for the first three rounds. Like, it's miserably bad at wide receiver. That's the only thing where I feel like that's why bringing Hollywood back is going to save him a little
bit. Where else would you have gone, though?
Not take him, maybe. I mean, last year.
I mean, position-wise. So they've already taken care of
another defensive lineman.
So you take three defensive linemen in the first three rounds?
I don't have a problem. If you trade down, I don't have a problem.
I'll be surprised if that's
tight
what
end,
it is.
Maybe Drew is another one I would have considered at that spot.
Yeah.
Maybe another offensive lineman I would have considered at that spot. But yeah, I'm pretty open.
I think they can.
Safety, maybe.
Take two in their first three or four picks. I would be stunned if their first three picks are all defensive
line. Well, this is three out of four, right? Because in this scenario, they're trading down.
Because Bink had Isaiah Bond. I don't know if that is a point where you're like, I don't want him taking Bond either. Because he had them taking, Bink and Chris had them taking Isaiah Bond at 95 as well.
I'm just saying the general draft consensus is the wide receivers stink. That's also why I'm surprised why Luther Burden is so low in every single mock draft I see.
I think that's why you wait until the third round to take one, though.
Yeah.
Or the fourth round, I guess, in a way. I think the running back, it is interesting. It depends on how the draft goes, because we know, I think it tends to be this way. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but once running backs start traditionally coming off the board, outside of like the one guy that's really good, obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan, Ashton Jeanty, whatever, it seems like there's a trickle down afterwards where running backs start to tick off a little bit quicker as soon as that first one goes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was the thought process here, because shortly after Judkins got selected by Trapasso here, Trayvon Henderson got picked like two picks later.
Our guy, Sean Barber, former Chiefs linebacker, he texted in, said, I love this mock. I'm on board with tackle, running back, and edge.
I mean, those are pretty much the three dream positions. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I'll give them that. Like, there's no argument for those are the three that they probably.
Hey, where are your Richmond Spiders at, Barber? I don't see your Richmond Spiders in this field. What happened? What happened to them this year? I don't see them in the tournament.
Didn't work out, huh?
Where's the Spiders?
They might have made the women's tournament. I can't remember.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
They're not in the tournament that's going on right this second. I know that.
I just remember him and Danon Hughes
last year with Iowa. Yeah.
How many basketball games do you think Barber went to when he was there?
I have no idea. You don't think, like, I don't know, he played on the football team, obviously. I don't know. Do you know, was he friends with the basketball team? I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
I would assume he
he's going to text it.
He interacted with them. How many basketball games
after
did you
trashed his Richmond Spiders?
I just wonder, where are they at, Barber?
They went 10-22 and finished 13th in the A-10 this
year. Barber, you better cut off that NIL money, man. You're not getting your money. You're not getting your bang for your buck. Cut off that NIL money.
We'll give them more so they can get some better players.
Two different ways to look at it, for sure. Yeah.
Because I tell you that much.
Impressive dunk.
Tough year.
All right, real quick. I know we did a scoring update already.
Fordham was the only team that was worse.
But we have a show bet that has 6.5 minutes
minus left. 1.5, correct?
We need Louisville to win by two in the first half, or lead by two in the first half. They are now 28-23 with 6.5 to go to Creighton.
So we're going to need some misses.
Plenty of time, boys.
We need some misses here, Drew.
Barber texted, yes, Richmond women's Spiders are in the tournament.
Hey, okay. Good for them. Let's go with the Lady Spiders.
Mm-hmm. Did you fill out a women's bracket yet, Drew?
I didn't, but here we go. Louisville.
I did not. I failed to do that for the first time in a while.
Down to three.
I will say this. Look, for the women's bracket, if you could easily, I'm just going to guess the regions, you could say UCLA, USC, South Carolina, and UConn make the Final Four, and you're probably not wrong.
Yeah. And then just choose one of those four teams to win the national championship. You're probably right.
Usually, that'll set you in a pretty good spot.
That's pretty safe.
That is very, very true.
Doesn't mean it's not fun to pick sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with
squad.
You. All right, that's not a bad mock draft, though. Thanks for that one from Chris Trapasso.
You know what? I appreciate him bringing us a little bit of a variation. I like when we get the different names. I am starting to cultivate through, like, reading about people, hearing about people. I'm really starting to figure out who I want in the first round and which running back I inevitably want.
Yeah.
I feel like those are the two most important things that we can have a very strong opinion on when it all reads out to the draft. Because everybody on the show agrees they need a running back.
Yeah,
a young, fast, explosive running back to be added into the unit with Isaiah Pacheco, with Kareem Hunt, and the veteran.
A lot of our listeners text anytime we talk running back, and I'm not saying he's not any good, but it's also because it's the name we all recognize, Cam Scataboo at running back. Unless he really falls, I'm kind of out on him. I don't think that's the back they need in their system.
He's a little bit too Pacheco-like.
He is very similar.
I think he's like Kareem Hunt.
Well, if he has that,
if he's got that kind of vision,
if he has the explosiveness as 23-year-old Kareem Hunt, then I'm interested.
I think he's more like Kareem Hunt than he is Isaiah Pacheco, because I think if you go even like during the playoff game against Texas that they lost, he was breaking out some runs where this run was going nowhere. How did you get through? I think he's got some elusiveness that's there, but I mean he. In college, though, he was getting fed a lot like Ashton Jeanty.
Sorry, Gold sad. We're both sad because they got it back down to three, and then Creighton hit an open three.
Come on!
I'm still a little bit ahead
of
you guys.
The 3-point defense from Louisville has not been strong.
See if you can take the broadcast delay off of it.
Oh yeah.
If you can decrease the
So you already knew about that three, didn't you?
Correct. And I also knew about the offensive foul that's about to come up for Louisville as well.
Hey, no spoiling. You know, hold on. I need to remember how to get to that, Cody.
Offensive foul? I don't remember how to do it, man. You sure it's not already on there?
I don't know. This is the backup TV. It's not my normal YouTube TV settings.
I just assume it's like a traditional YouTube TV setting.
Here we go. Here we go.
And no matter what, if you're on...
Broadcast delay was on default, so...
Decreased.
So, help out a little bit. I wonder, so...
All right, there we go.
By the way, this is a good tip for everybody. If you watch these games on YouTube TV and you would less of a delay,
up nine now?
Turn... Yeah, boy, that was a tough delay we just went through. You can turn the delay down to decreased on YouTube TV to kind of reduce it. All right, this bet's over.
Louisville's out here missing bunnies.
Let's start thinking about what next bet we're trying to win.
Do you guys think that, because Tabrasso had them trading out of the first round. Is this something that you actually think it depends on how the draft goes, but do you think it's more likely than less likely situation?
I don't know if it's more likely because, of course, it always requires a team wanting to get back in the first round. Why are they wanting to get back in the first round? Is it for a quarterback to get the fifth year option? What's the reason that team is trading in? We all know, other than just the fact that the draft was in Kansas City, we know in some years the Chiefs have tried to trade out of the first round and they just haven't been able to. And I do think it is a challenge sometimes to find a trade partner to get out of pick 30, 31, 32. So, yes.
I think considering the state of some of their contracts, there's a real appeal to being in the first for the same reason they're going to love that Trent McDuffie, Xavier Worthy, and George Karlaftis were all first-round picks and have the availability to keep those option years, Drew, available. And also, they've not had a first-round pick like three different times under Brett Veach. So, like, how many times do they want to go into a year where they're just not even picking in the first round? It's different when you're picking 31 versus, like, 14, obviously, but... Which is where they picked.
They can't miss. They can't miss.
No, what is going on?
Creighton's made three threes in a row. It's 40-25, just like that. This bet is 12-0 run.
Remember, it was 25-22. Yes, just a couple of minutes
ago. It's over in the first half.
So much for the Louisville's in the Elite Eight pick as well. That
I had. I don't know if the game's over, but our first half bet is definitely over. They're down 15 points.
If you actually pick them based on them being in Lexington, I think you're crazy. Like, you cannot include...
Didn't you say you had them going far?
Yes, but...
not for that reason.
No. Home court is not the reason I'm picking them. I picked them to do that.
All right. Yeah. No. Meanwhile, Creighton the other game, miss, Purdue and Purdue and High Point are tied at 11 with 13:40 to go.
High Point pulling the upset off, boys.
Someone says you should have listened to your guest, Tim, who said not to bet on the early games.
And Tim also did say Creighton if we were going to
bet. His reason for not betting it was, just that you don't want to start with an L, you know, and I hear you.
This was
a show bet. It's our show money, you know. Are you saying we need to now make another bet? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. This one's dead. Second half?
Chasing already, and it's
second
one
half.
Game in.
Louisville second half?
Chasing, and we're not but 20 minutes into the tournament.
I have my personal bets made for the day, but
we got to get another game in somewhere.
I mean, do you want to
because we can't
a live bet somewhere? Do you think there's a live bet opportunity?
Well, what's the next game up? Maybe we can bet on the next game.
The Wisconsin Montana game.
That's not till the 1 o'clock hour, right? Or no, noon. I'm sorry. That's at 12:30. Montana Wisconsin is at 12:30. Wisconsin's a 16.5 point favorite at 1 o'clock today. Number one, Houston against number 16.
How much
16.
Are they spotting in the first half? Is it 7.5?
Which game?
Wisconsin. Are
16.5 for the game against Wisconsin?
For the half. If you want to do another first half bet, is it 8.5?
It is 9.5. I don't know how I feel.
Drew's the Wisconsin guy. I don't know if that's a good or a
Drew,
bad thing.
Can you tell us who's going to score some points for Wisconsin? You know?
John Tonjay averages about 20 a game. John Blackwell also is very good. Max Klusman is healthy, which is nice. Nolan Winter's been playing really good as of late. Stephen Crowell is hit or miss sometimes. But Tanjay is the guy that you want to bet
on.
So
why didn't you guys bet all the dogs on the money line for every game, make some profit?
People do that.
That would have been fun.
Last year it actually didn't profit. The previous 2 years it did.
Yeah. One, we are on the air till two, so we're purposely trying to do some bets. We have our personal bets, but as a show, we're doing bets that are going to end while we're on the air, so we can have some fun or just be upset about Louisville screwing us. That's why we do it.
Maybe we should take Montana in the first half. We get 9.5 points, you know?
Let's figure out the bet during the break. Coming up next, we're going to get to what's trending. Then we'll talk a little bit more about what we expect from the locals, including Kansas against Arkansas coming up.